This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Former 24/7 champion, Peter Rosenberg.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Bear, I'm doing a show. Turkey, ducky.
That's great.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the ENN.
On TV.
It is on TV. Oh, yeah, and it's brought to you by, I got paper today, DoorDash. Download the DoorDash app right now and find out some of the best stuff New York has to offer. DoorDash. Get more from your neighborhood. Did a little decorating during the, by the way, it's funny. We did it as a joke.
It looks so much better.
It actually looks legit. Andrew, does it not legitimately look better? As ridiculous as it looks that we're hanging up shirts, we're hanging up the gift that Harry gave me, the Maryland dog shirt.
And a great listener drew a picture of me, and I have that up. And then we have the Beach Bash shirt.
By the way, I swear to you, it looks significantly better.
Yeah. I love my commies.
Well, anything is better than a blank wall.
Wow. I feel great now. This makes me want to, let's leave this here permanently. I love it. All right, let me start off tonight's ENN by saying good evening to Michael.
You can't lose ugly.
And good evening to Don.
I have a base, because I dabble.
And good evening to myself.
Peter, get one Hormel's chili.
And to Michael.
Well, he lets the nozzle go.
Right. And lastly to myself.
Fierce turtle.
Welp, everyone. Welcome to ENN. I hope you're having a lovely day. We haven't really taken time to point out today how beautiful it was.
It really was nice.
Like, I don't know what the temperature is or what the temp is right now. But my goodness, it's been lovely. Let's see. They're saying 59 right now. I'm going to Natalie's for dinner tonight. Maybe we'll sit on her balcony.
She has a nice balcony.
Oh, my God. It's on. The view is unbelievable.
Wow.
Really nice outside. Also, Michael, you said something during the break that I think was worth sharing with the people.
Okay.
He said a lot of things during break.
Yeah.
He said, I got to be honest with you. We take it for granted. Don really does a lot of the heavy lifting on this show.
I mean, these 3 days, when 7 o'clock hits, you feel like you've done 4 hours on radio.
I mean, Andrew, it's crazy. Like, because it's a pretty dead time in sports and we don't have Don can literally go off on a day for 3 hours on something that when you talk to him afterwards, you realize he had no interest in.
I think he lives for these days. Like, this is when he can really flex his talk show muscles.
A lot of good looking guys in golf, right?
It really is. It's amazing. So it's 240 minutes that we're on the air.
Right.
Then you take 70% of that. That's a big chunk that we can get correspondence done.
Yep.
Peter could send out important tweets. Sure. You can't do that now.
We've got a hockey game going on the other side.
Bro. Oh,
got a
pond hockey.
Enough with the COVID pneumonia. Get back, okay?
Please.
Maybe.
Clown shoes. Sorry.
It's like, not cheating.
We miss you, though.
Miss the big lug.
Who's your starting catcher?
He gets emotional when
When he comes back, well, hopefully soon.
Yeah.
Just wind him up like one of those toys you get in a gas station, and we sit back and watch
it. Oh, yeah.
God, I was making noise. Dead.
And then, of course, the greatest. I love that the two greatest are next to each other.
Former Raven.
Replied.
Or current Raven.
Oh, like the game doesn't need him.
Sorry, he's a Charger now.
He's a Charger.
Oh, no, he's a Ram.
It's impossible to hear it and not laugh.
It's a historic fan team, history, franchise.
We miss you, Don. And lastly.
Budweiser nips over at Gypsy Pond behind Clixie's.
I mean, people, though. Ballard texted me today just to check in and say, hey, have you talked to Don today? How's Don?
Ballard.
My mom called last night again. Everyone wants Don back.
I know we do.
See you guys.
Well, the Knicks have figured things out with Kemba Walker. No, they haven't decided how to utilize him on the team. They've decided he won't be playing at all. the four-time All-Star and Bronx-born NBA star, will be sidelined for the remainder of the team's schedule. According to a statement, it will be allowing him to work out in preparation for 2022-2023.
Mm-hmm.
In a statement from Leon Rose, that's right, the Leon Rose gave a statement. He said, quote, "We fully support Kemba's decision to shut it down for the remainder of the season and use this time to prepare for next season. His long-term success on the court remains our priority." Really?
Now, I'm going to take a little bit of a different tack here, okay?
All right.
If he's healthy and it's just bailing, it's a bad look on Kemba Walker. If the Knicks didn't want him and they're kind of doing this to, you know, deodorize the move, well, he should just say, no, just release me. Don't do it. I want to play for somebody else.
Is there a world where this is true and he really isn't doing well and they think he could get better and play next year?
No, because he seemed fine. Health-wise, it wasn't a problem. He does not fit what Leon Rose wants to do. And he can read the writing on the wall. With Derrick Rose coming back, he's not going to play. So if I'm the Knicks and he said, I don't want to play the rest of the year, I'm like, okay, you're not getting paid.
Yeah, because it says allowing him to work out in preparation. It's not like they're saying he needs to get healthy.
Yeah.
Practice?
If he's healthy and asked out, it's an awful look on him. And if the Knicks just, you know, told him to sit back and we'll try to trade you, that I understand. I can understand that. But it's an admittance that they made a bad mistake, too. Maybe the Knicks don't want to show how bad a mistake it was. Although we all know, anybody who's watching the games, we all know.
Maybe the Rangers could pick him up.
Let's do that hockey.
Texas or New York?
I meant New York.
Oh.
Well, hey.
So we also have some interesting news from our mayor, Eric Adams. He was asked, do you plan on easing mandates in the city soon? Let's hear from the mayor.
Yes, and I can't wait to get it done. I take my hat off to New Yorkers through masks, through vaccines, through social distancing. We were hit with the uncertainty, the fear of COVID. I'm really proud of how we responded as New Yorkers. And every morning I meet with my health professionals because I always stated I'm going to follow the science. I'm not going to get ahead of the science because I'm ready to get ahead of all of this and get back to a level of normalcy. But they're giving us clear instructions. They gave us benchmarks. We're going to follow those benchmarks. But I look forward to the next few weeks of going to a real transformation that I don't have to wonder what you look like. I would know what you look like again. And so we are moving in the right direction. We're going to do it in a safe way because all of these experts will tell you one thing. We can't close down again. We can't close down again. And I'm not going to do something out of my anticipation to get back that's going to jeopardize closing down the city again. Our economy can't handle it. We don't have another $11 billion to put back in the economy. We must do it in a smart way, and people are going to look back later and say, you know, he made the right decisions. We're going to get the city back up and operating, and we're going to be rolling out some things in the next day or so on how we're going to carry that out.
Can I, would it be rude of me to correct the mayor?
Normalcy?
Normalcy is not a word. Normalcy is a word. Normality is a word. You can use either one in what he's trying to... Normalcy does not exist. Well, and I use words as tools, but as weapons.
He got stuck right between normalcy and normality, huh?
Right.
And either would have worked.
Yeah, normality actually was the original word and is still the most common word today. Normalcy resulted from an era, but it's considered fine today, especially in the U.S.
Oh,
I have a big dictionary.
You know what the number one mistake that I... It's the most frequent mistake I hear that annoys me. I know I have a bunch that annoy you. I use went and gone incorrectly and things of that nature.
You and gone, that's your specialty.
But you know which one really bothers me? And it's said a lot. When people say that something's addicting, they say it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, have you had that soda? It's so addicting. And I'm like, addictive. The word's right there for you. Addictive.
Mm-hmm.
You don't hear that?
I don't hear that much.
You
know, one
Andrew,
that I
you
hear
a addicting? You're hearing addicting?
Is, I can't even remember. When people think they're going to get good publicity and they say something like...
Any press is good press.
No. It's like, I'll come up with it. It's like, it's a word. That, well, when you're famous for something that's bad.
Oh, infamous.
And people go, I really want to be infamous. Really? Then go kill somebody.
No, they don't say
no,
that.
No. Oh, yeah. I want to be, he's infamous. No, he's famous. He's not infamous. O.J. Simpson's infamous. He used to be famous.
He switched, oh, God. He switched from famous to infamous.
Right.
Wow, I didn't know people make that mistake.
Oh, all the time.
Andrew, you haven't heard people say addicting?
I don't know if I've heard that one.
Oh, yeah. I'm telling you, it's very common. Among bright people. Is addicting even a word?
I'll check it out for you.
This is the kind of thing you enjoy, isn't it?
It's what I'm good at.
In the meantime, let's hear from Kendrick Perkins, who is on the Swagoo and Perk podcast. That's his. Talking about what's happening with Zion Williamson, his lack of availability, and things of that nature.
I hate to say it, but I knew it was going to happen, bro.
You said it.
I was at the draft combine.
You said it.
Before I was deciding whether or not I was going to become a coach or join or become an analyst, I was at the draft combine coaching. And guess what Zion was having delivered to his room? Two whole pizzas that he was eating. And I said to myself right then, I said, hey, man, you know what? He already starting off on the wrong foot. And I tried to warn the world, but people didn't want to listen.
And this is a cautionary tale, potentially, for Zion Williamson, according to Kendrick Perkins.
If he don't get on track soon, he's about to be the DeMarcus Russell of the NBA. Probably talented as hell, you know, generational talent, but because of him not being able to get in shape, because of everything he's dealing with off the court, for us, you know, having bad eating habits, things to those natures, you know, just not getting the right guidance, I don't know if we're going to be able to see this man and see how great he could possibly be.
I'll take my chance. Now, here, Peter, you are in fact wrong.
Oh, no.
Using addicting as an adjective isn't wrong, but addictive is the safer choice. If you want to be safe, stick with television is addictive, although you can use addicting. Technically synonymous with addictive.
But don't you think addictive...
And the word I was thinking of is not infamous, notorious.
Notorious.
People use that wrong all the time.
Oh, they say he's notorious.
He's notorious.
For something, but they don't mean something negative.
Right.
When if you say... You could say someone's notorious for being late.
Right.
It's because it's being followed by something negative.
Notoriety. I'm looking for notoriety. No, you're not.
Oh, trying to gain. But you know, is that true, though? Because people do say, oh, he gained notoriety.
Notoriety's bad.
But it means bad.
Yeah. This is what you get in the NN. You get a tutorial on how to use the language.
You learn so much here. By the way, I feel bad for... Feel bad for Zion because...
You know, pizza is addicting.
I love that you said pizza, too, by accident.
Yeah, no, I didn't. I did on purpose.
That was on purpose?
Yeah.
On purpose. But it really is... It's a perfect storm right now of bad for Zion. So you first have the trade in which he doesn't welcome a new teammate to New Orleans.
Who's one of the top 50 players in the league, McCollum.
Right. CJ McCollum is a legit star. You don't send him a text. That's no good. No one has seen from him. No one's heard from him. People have seen these pictures that have come out of him looking big. Then, yesterday, let's just be honest, because sometimes the media does impact other media. Let's be real. When J.J. Redick of ESPN, a former not only Dukie, but teammate of Zion's briefly in New Orleans, goes on a rant yesterday about how he's not a good teammate, and all of these things, which, by the way, Michael, it hit a lot different considering he was his actual teammate.
Right, and he's also a respected guy in the league.
And a respected player who was on every team in the league, practically. That combination now, I feel like the floodgates are going to be open. And if Zion doesn't do something to change this narrative, either give an interview himself, come out and say something, get back on the court. If that doesn't happen, this could end up being really the story on Zion. This is a really critical time for him.
He can rewrite the story, though. Get better, get in shape, and be great.
I think tomorrow, with the state of journalism as it is, I'm going to just make up a story about I was once at a Ponderosa, and I just saw Zion just housing steaks.
Holy crap.
Yeah, one after another after another.
If you had to choose, though, would you go Ponderosa or Sizzler? I think Sizzler's the way to go.
Well, I've never been to Ponderosa, so Sizzler would be more authentic to me.
Mm-hmm. Also, in the age of COVID, do you really want to have like a walkthrough place to grab your food?
I'd be fine with it.
Really?
As long as
there's a sneeze guard, right?
Yeah, I would always want a sneeze guard.
Mama's got a sneeze guard.
You seem like a bone-in guy.
Daddy never sleeps at night.
What's that from?
even what's that from?
Mama's got a sneeze guard.
I can't say what it really is. Squeeze.
Hard? Is this the Who?
The Who.
Hey, tour of the world, is me, yours truly.
What song is that from?
Mama's got a squeeze box. Daddy never sleeps at night.
Oh. Still doesn't ring a bell.
It really doesn't ring a bell?
Not hearing you sing it.
Sex. I'm sorry, I can't get the original artist here. Do you have it there, Anthony?
You think he just has the Who's discography sitting on him?
This guy's fast.
Yeah, but I have him working on something else.
Oh, okay, sorry.
I finally found the time codes for him to be able to put Eric Adams saying Ebros in the system. It's been important to me all day that you hear that at some point.
Might be a lost cause, my G.
Let's hear from Danny Green on his Green Room podcast, talking about Ben Simmons' relationship with Seth Curry and Andre Drummond. Remember, all three now members of the Nets. But here's Danny Green, who is a teammate of these guys. His thoughts.
Interesting dynamic of how things went down. Of who went with him. I don't know. I haven't got a chance to talk to those guys yet, but I know they weren't on the most of cordial terms when he was in Philly with Drum and Seth. So I wonder how that relationship is now. I got a chance to talk to them.
I don't think it matters. There's, you know, 13 other people that could be a buffer, as long as Durant and Irving get along with them.
Well, Simmons put out a statement actually responding, saying about his feelings on Drummond.
Yeah.
And he said,
I love these people.
Interesting.
I will not devalue these men.
Do you know, I watched that video the other day.
Really?
At the debate at Fordham.
Maniacal?
Maniacal.
Yeah, he's a maniac. Get me help. He's had a lot of moments. You know, I don't know which is the weirdest one. The weirdest one now has to be the Eagles one.
That was strange. Maybe because we know he's in a confined area in a hospital now, we should send people there to work on his mind.
Like, since we know he's sitting down anyway.
Right, he's a captive audience.
Right, there's no reason they can't start pulling up some of this audio and think, you know.
I think doctors would be alarmed.
Did you do ecstasy?
Yeah, I mean, not to mention some of the things he's done that he probably deserves to really rethink, you know, some of his actions on the air.
Don, did you tweet rest in peace to Sidney Poitier?
Yeah, 92. He passed away.
That's his birthday today.
No. Turns 92. Dear God.
The way you said it was perfect. It's his birthday today.
I didn't.
Blah.
God, Don, so funny. All right, let's move along, shall we? You want to?
Yeah, I think so.
Holy crap.
Yep. Brian Flores. This is an interesting conversation with Brian Flores and his attorney, Doug Wigdor, from HBO's Real Sports, talking about money that he lost by signing an agreement with the Dolphins so he could speak out. Oh, no, that he didn't sign.
I think, you know, just signing that, you know, separation agreement would have really silenced me.
How much money did you wind up leaving on the table by choosing to not sign that agreement?
A lot.
A good amount of money.
A lot of money.
What's a good amount?
It was millions of dollars.
Millions of dollars.
It was 2 years of his contract. And to Coach Flores' credit, you know, he wasn't going to sign that because wasn't about the money. If it was about the money, he would have signed it. What he did instead was he filed this lawsuit so that he could help other coaches now and in the future.
I like how the lawyer jumped in when they started getting to the specifics about money. He was like, lots of money.
You know what? I can appreciate that, because if I ever got fired from somewhere that I thought unfairly and they wanted me to sign an NDA, I go, well, I'm good. Keep the money. I'm going to bring you down.
Yeah, well, I mean, why wouldn't you? I mean,
unless it's a lot of money, but I would still want to bring them down.
Well, and the only thing here is it's a tough foe. Taking down the NFL is going to be tough.
Absolutely. But if he can, I think he would feel a great deal of joy if he could take down Stephen Ross. That if he could prove that Stephen Ross offered him money to lose games, that will get Stephen Ross to force himself to see him.
And meanwhile, if he has, they don't need, in a lot of ways, they don't need that much for that piece to be cut and dry. If there's any sort of documentation of it.
That's a lot. If he's got it, then it's a home run.
Or if you have multiple conversations potentially with other people who would testify.
Right. I still think You have to have it in writing or a text.
What if you have two really viable sources?
They could both lie for you. I don't know. I don't know how that works.
I think that would hold up well in court if you had two legitimate sources. But we'll
okay,
see. I made that up anyways.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Let's hear Eric Adams doing an interview with Ebro, Laura, and myself.
That's Ebro Darden.
Ebro.
Cookies. Right.
Darden. Mm-hmm. Ebro. Full stop. No S.
Darden.
Darden.
Uh-huh.
This is the mayor, the now mayor, when he announced his candidacy, talking to us on Hot 97.
And that's so important what you stated, but, you know, let's be clear, Ebros. Because my voter, they wake up in the morning, Ebros.
Wow.
It's troubling.
Now, Anthony, along those same veins, can you dig up Chris Mullin calling Don Dom 15 times in one interview? That's always fun.
Literally one of my favorite. I missed those moments, sadly. I don't think I was around for the Mullen one.
You were not there for the Mullen one. Because you would have been giggling in the background.
No, I've just heard about it.
But the one thing that chapped Don the most is when Bill Parcells, we had a weekly with Bill Parcells, and every time he answered a question.
Michael.
Even when he was talking to Don. And because that hurt Don, Bill Parcells. Giant Don.
Now, are you a bad guy? Should you have jumped in at some point and gone, you know what, Bill, I'm sorry. That's actually Don who asked you the question there.
No.
Not your job.
First of all, wouldn't want to insult Parcells, number two. It's good for the show if he insults Don. Do you have it, Andrew? Let's listen to Chris Mullin. Chris, it's Michael Kay and Don LeGrec, and congratulations.
Michael and Dom, thank you very much.
Well, Chris, we know you know the game, but just coaching for the first time, what do you think some of the challenges will be for that?
Well, there'll be a lot, Dom.
And is it necessary to be that big again for this to be a success?
Well, Dom, I think it can.
Chris, was it hard to be away from New York for that long?
Initially it was, Dom, initially.
Good luck, Chris.
Good luck, Chris.
Thanks, Dom. Thanks, Michael.
You got it.
The best part is he knows Dom even more than he knows you. At the end, he almost forgets Michael.
Right.
He's so focused on Dom.
And if you listen to the beginning, I said, Chris, it's Michael and Don LaGreca. And he goes, hey, Michael, hey, Dom. He went right from Don to Dom.
Immediately. Dom. It's just so focused.
And I love Chris, but that actually made me love him more.
Oh, my God. That is so good. I know you're going to be upset about this. Alexander Zverev has been kicked out of the Mexican Open.
Is this the guy who was pounding on the umpire's chair?
That's right.
Here's what I want, all right? See if I'm crazy. Like
this is, by the way, this is in the Mexican Open, a tennis tournament, and he hit the umpire's chair with his racket multiple times.
Very
after
close
a
to hitting
loss.
His leg. Very close. I don't know if you saw the video.
I'm going to watch it now.
So, you know, John McEnroe used to always say these awful things. A couple of the current players do it as well. Why can't there be one chair official who's confident in himself and slowly climbs down the chair and punches the guy right in the face? That's not how people work in society. You don't talk to people like that. Punch him right in the face. Take his racket and smash it over his head. That's what I think they should do. Then it stops. Forget about suspended from the rest of the tournament. Punch his lights out.
I don't think you can do that, though.
Why?
Because then now you're a part of it, too.
Oh, but what a way to go out. You go out with your head held high. You'll be on Kimmel the next night.
Punch him right in the face.
Yeah, just like that.
I don't know if you'd be on Kimmel the next night.
I think you would. Well, after you serve a short jail term.
Listen, I mean, you see what happened, how it looked when seemingly Juwan Howard took things as he saw it into his own hands.
Right.
People freaked out. Nothing even happened.
But
before I rip and break this computer.
Like,
oh, no.
The
oh,
official, no. The assistant coach that got open slapped by Juwan, if he went after Juwan and just beat him up. This official was accosted by he's rapidly hitting the racket, I'd say an inch from his foot. And also, the way they talk to these officials, the things they say. I mean, I like John McEnroe. I have a friendship with him. But the stuff that he said to officials, in normal society, you couldn't say that to somebody on the street. You get in a fight.
Well, and you could also, I mean, if I was being, you know, really fair, you could argue that McEnroe's a big influence on this being part of it.
Of course.
You know?
A generation of kids saw that was the way it was done.
That was insane that he just did that.
How close did he come to his leg, right?
Pretty close. And furthermore, it's just such a violent act to do that next to someone. It's such intimidation. It's terrible. But you're right. Imagine what happened if he jumps down and gets in the guy's face and goes, "Excuse me?" Like, how much could they punish the umpire for fighting back then?
Right. You couldn't. He was assaulted, essentially. Even if he came down, I bet you the tennis player would wet his pants. Like, come down off the ladder and go, "Tell me you're in my face, punk. Come on,
one,
do it."
1, 2, 3 shots with his racket to the umpire chair. Well, he's kicked out of the Mexican Open. So
now that's, you don't want to lose that.
Well, then once you've lost the Mexican Open, you know what they say, your whole tennis calendar that year's
that's
a
right.
wrap.
That's right.
Forget about
next
it.
Next thing, Wimbledon.
Nasty little feud going back and forth between Richard Jefferson and Gilbert Arenas, taking place on a place where at least Callie will see it on TikTok. Gilbert Arenas, in a TikTok video, remarked that he should have been drafted over Richard Jefferson. Now, they both entered the league from Arizona at the same time in 2001. Jefferson was selected 13th overall by the Rockets. Arenas was drafted by the Warriors 31st, early in the second round. He said, "You know they picked Richard Jefferson, right? How do they pick Richard Jefferson ahead of me when I was the number one scorer in the University of Arizona? I was the best player on our team. He was option 3, 4 even," he said on his No Chill podcast.
No Chill?
RJ responded on social
RJ's media. Not going to let something like that go.
No. Let's talk about why Gilbert went from first round to second round. It wasn't because of his talent, because that man was a bad man. But Gilbert was an immature bleep hole. That's just who he was. We were all little bleep heads, I get it. But what Gilbert did was a little more special.
Players never forget, by the way.
I have to tell you, I sort of enjoy that Richard Jefferson comes off as like very straight-laced on his Yes broadcast and ESPN work. But he's not going to get pushed around.
No. Or Jeff? No way.
That'll do it for ENN on this Wednesday, hump day. It's all brought to you by Hennessy. Enjoy a delicious Hennessy NBA cocktail watching the game. Try the Hennessy Playmaker, maybe the Hennessy Triple-Double, both made with Hennessy VS. Visit Hennessy.com for drink recipes. Hennessy, spirit of the NBA. Always enjoy responsibly.
At 6:30 in the big city, we'll come back, take your phone calls, 1-800-919-3776. And I guess we have the big fella again today, right?
Yeah, love the big fella.
At 6:45. So stick around. Kay, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.